Janie Lee Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show. I hope you're well, and I'm really looking forward to this week's show because I get to chat again all about the topic of nutrition and immunity. I do think it's so super important. I was going to say it this time of year, but actually all year round, to focus on good nutrition. But I think the supplement piece is super important as well. So I really hope you'll enjoy this interview. And please go to thesoberclub.com or imperfectlynatural.com. On either site, you'll find a blog post there, which gives you links that you can go to for Nature Provides, who I'm talking to today. There's a link there. And if you use that link to buy your supplements, then a little bit of cash will go to our Sober Club Give Back Fund. So it's a bit of a win-win-win. By just clicking that link, you get to support someone who can't afford to stay a member of the Sober Club. So I will be incredibly grateful, and so would they. And just while we're talking about the win-win factor, as it's the season of goodwill, sort of, nearly, I just want to share with you that I've taken on this daft challenge of Strictly Come Hospice. It's a Strictly Dance challenge for a local hospice. And, you know, when I discovered that they need, I mean, literally an eye-opening amount of money to continue to be in operation, you know, I figured I'll go for it. I do have a lot of money to raise. So again, please go to thesoberclub.com. You'll see the blog post there. And I'd so appreciate it if you would donate a few quid. It's the event that we're going to be doing is a Strictly Dance Challenge at the end of January in Hertfordshire. And meanwhile, I'm hobbling my way through these steps, realizing that I'm really quite unfit. So might have to do some more shows around fitness, even if it's just for me. So I hope you enjoy the interview with Rachel Acaso from Nature Provides. And just a reminder that there is a Christmas event for anyone who can grab a ticket. If you go to thesoberclub.com/events, you'll see all of the info there.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My guest is Rachel Acaso from an amazing company who just do amazing things. We're going to get all into the vitamins, the supplements, all of the stuff you do, Rachel. But for anyone who hasn't heard me interview you and chat to you before, just tell us a little bit about your personal story and how you kind of got interested in health and well-being before you set up Nature Provides. What happened back in the day?
Hi, Janie. Thanks for having me on again. I went traveling after doing a number of different jobs and decided I met somebody. Actually, I'd always had a keen interest in nutrition, met a nutritional therapist, and just instantly knew that was something that I wanted to pursue. So started studying as soon as I came back from traveling, and was seeing clients, you know, seeing them and wanting to give the best advice. Just feeling that all of the supplements that I came to recommend just fell short of what I wanted them to be. So they'd have fillers, binders, flow agents, preservatives, and they just weren't in the most bioavailable form. So I set about creating my own range, and one that I can confidently stand by, one that I use myself and use on my children, some of them, and my family and friends. And that's how Nature Provides started.
I mean, look, there might be somebody listening to this, to this show who is kind of really quite new to all of this. They may have ditched the booze and be starting to feel a bit better and starting to realize, okay, I've got to eat better. I've got to think about my nutrition, and I'm going to really have to get onto this supplement thing. And it might be the first time that they've really thought about it. And I had a client who I asked her about her sort of supplements, and I think she said, I take a liquid iron or something like that, and that was it. And you think, oh wow. Now let's just step back even a bit from that, because again, there'll be other people who say, look, I've got a really good diet, so why on earth should I need a shed load of supplements, if my diet is good? So just do the absolute 101 piece, why we do need supplementation.
As a nutritional therapist, food definitely first. You can't out supplement a bad diet, and
That's right.
that's your absolute getting the foundation of a good balanced diet, nutrient dense, is really key. Assuming you have that in place to the best of your ability, then supplements have a place. And the reason for this is because the soil is farmed on repeat. It's not rested enough. It's not replenished with the nutrients it's needed. And so the food is, first of all, lacking in nutrients. It then, is shipped from one place to another, sits on a shelf, sits in our fridge maybe for a little while until we get around to using it, and then we cook it, and finally we're eating it, and it's just, far fewer nutrients than it should have.
And
That's a
that,
big.
of course, is if you even start with something that has some nutrients to start with, whereas an awful lot of
Exactly.
our diet,
It's not, it's
is
barely even food.
exactly, it's highly processed foods. I mean, I was looking at another piece the other day. I mean, I've done a lot around UPFs, of course, on this show and with the work that I do with the Sober Club. But I'm not perfect. And I remember buying, I think it was something like fish cakes. Right, recently I thought, oh, that'll be quick, and in my mind I'm thinking, well, it's got cod in it. And it's got, some breadcrumbs, maybe an egg. I don't think so. I mean, I'm not saying it's the worst thing ever. Of course it isn't. But actually, the reality is you've got a load of other chemical stuff in there that, depending on how much you eat, is not going to be great for you. Now, the reality is most of us, every now and then we need a goddamn fish cake or whatever it is. We're not going to be able to be perfect and cook every single thing from scratch. But I think when people say my diet is exceptional, is it really?
I think what I always try to communicate to people is the 80-20 rule. I'm not perfect either. I'd be lying if I said that my diet was impeccable 100% of the time. It's not. And I also see a value in food that's nourishment for the soul. So, eating as well is time with the family. It's sharing a meal. And they do say that it's better to eat an unhealthy meal and be happy rather than eat a healthy meal and be unhappy. So there's a lot to do with really sitting and enjoying your food, savoring it, having gratitude for it, and just spending time with your family and eating and sharing. But I think if we aim for 80-20, we probably won't go too far wrong. And if we aim for as much as possible whole foods, but you're right, we don't always ha have time to cook. Children, work, just life is busy. So batch cooking can be an amazing thing to do, whether that's on a Sunday or whenever is best for you, just cooking a big load of bolognese or a big load of soup, stews, whatever it is. You can batch make pate even and freeze it in little ramekins. Just pop one to defrost in the fridge overnight and have that with some sourdough and raw butter. And that's an incredibly nutrient dense meal. And these things, they don't have to be super complex. They just have to be good ingredients. And, things like a tin of sardines,
Yeah,
incredibly
absolutely. And mackerel,
healthy, especially with the bones in. Omega-3, calcium, vitamin D. You know, it's a quick and easy option. You can just open the tin and eat it with some sourdough toast.
You're absolutely right. It's food first, isn't it? And as you say, we do that kind of 80-20 balance. But then within that, there are many of us who are lacking in certain nutrients, and often you don't discover this till it's almost becoming too late. And I think we might have had a conversation or the last time we spoke, I forget if we did, but it was just around the whole ne necessity of taking vitamin D. Certainly, in my opinion, I think that everyone needs to take vitamin D, particularly in the winter in the UK. And I found that out the hard way because I was someone who always stayed out of the sun, literally kept myself covered up the whole time because I'm fair skinned. No sort of red meat or anything back then. And then when I had my vitamin D levels checked completely accidentally, it was part of something else I was doing, actually for a journalistic thing I was doing, and they did a test for me and it flagged up that my vitamin D levels were at 12. I mean, 12. It's a wonder I wasn't dead.
Very low, very, very low.
Really ridiculously low. And I wonder why I had nine colds a year, for God's sake. But then, the problem is then, and this is a separate topic, but just in passing, in case anyone's picking up on this, I then went to a regular GP who prescribed me vitamins that or vitamin D tablets, from the pharmacy, and the guy in the chemist came out and said to me, "Would you like the tutti frutti lemon flavor or the lemon?" And I'm thinking, "Well, I'm not five. What do you mean?" And I said, "Can I look at the ingredients?" And it had flavoring, aspartame, artificial sweeteners, and only 200 IU of vitamin D. So I actually just said, "You know what? Leave it." I don't think they'd ever had anyone hand a prescription back. Came out, got my own proper vitamin D, with 2000 IU, and got my levels back up, and the doctor kind of goes, "Oh, I've never seen a graph of recovery like that." Like, "No, of course you haven't.
On
You
200
haven't."
IU.
So, but what that kind of story kind of shows is that, number one, there are certain things that even if we're people who say we have a good diet, you actually can't really eat enough of the foods that give you vitamin D, for example. So if you live where we live in this northern hemisphere with this goddamn grey skies a lot of the time, you're actually just not going to get the vitamin D you need. And then if you get it wrong in terms of the supplements you take, you're not going to get better either. So
No.
that kind of it does the two things in one, really, the necessity for certain supplements and the fact that those supplements have got to be pure. They can't have a load of crap in them.
And I think, it's certainly with vitamin D, as you say, we're in the UK. So we don't get a lot of it. But I recently spoke to a colleague and it surprised me. She's also a nutritional therapist, eats very well. She's not constantly covering herself. She doesn't use sun protection. She's fair skinned, so should be absorbing properly. And she's out at her allotment a lot with her skin, very much on show in the midday sun. She had her levels checked and I mean, officially by sort of the doctors, the GP's parameters, she was in the green. She was, I think, 51, but only by one. But by functional medicine,
Optimum
nutritional
well-being standard.
therapist, that's not ideal. And it shocked me because she's doing everything right. And I'm not somebody who gets my vitamin D levels checked just because I eat well, I get out in the sun in the midday, but it really alerted me to or reminded me that, it is a really good time now to check them because we've
Supplement,
had the summer, we're coming into winter, and what are our levels at now?
yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting one. And then, of course, the other piece about some of this is it's not only the nutrient or the supplement, it's how we absorb it, isn't it? That's a really key piece that most of us don't understand enough about. And I know we're going to talk about B12, and sort of B vitamins generally. I'd like to talk about, but that's one thing that we hear about is the fact that we're not actually absorbing what we think we're going to be getting from the supplement.
Yeah, exactly. And it's taking it in the right form. And with cofactors or with something else that helps you absorb it in the right way. So the D, for example, you want to be getting D3
Yeah,
rather than
exactly.
D2. But you also want to have the
K2.
vitamin K2 with
Yeah,
it to
yeah.
help you absorb and absorb the calcium into your bones. That's really important. Otherwise, it's getting dumped in your soft tissue, i.e., your arteries,
Yeah.
which can cause all sorts of problems, of course.
Yeah,
Um,
yeah, yeah.
that's
On those, let's talk B vitamins for a moment, because it's something that when people quit alcohol, is one of the things that sort of comes up in conversations. Well, okay, you really do need B vitamins. Now, just talk me through the sort of B vitamin profile generally, and then why B12 particularly is implicated for people who've are quitting the booze.
Yeah, I'm all the B vitamins are obviously incredibly important. And it's key to having those in balance. You can get a lot of B9 through your food, B6 you'll be getting as well. And so, we find that a lot of those can come through food if we're eating a good balanced diet. Vitamin B12 is a tricky one because even if we're eating meat, we tend, if we have gut problems, if we're past, 50 as we start to age, if we're stressed, certainly if damage has been caused from drinking alcohol, that'll damage the gut lining, the cells that help you absorb the vitamin B12. Then even when we're eating red meat, we're not getting enough B12. And this one in particular is important because if we don't have enough, we can get irreversible neurological damage. So it's very important to catch that one. And a lot of people assume they have good levels, but we recently did a YouGov poll, which showed that one in three Brits are likely at risk of a B12 deficiency and they don't know it.
Well, I suppose you know, if someone is vegan, they may sort of suspect that they might be deficient.
Exactly.
But
So
otherwise,
they probably would be taking, or you would hope that they would be taking a supplement if they're on a vegan or even a vegetarian diet.
but otherwise you wouldn't necessarily think you were. But also then, isn't the issue that if you did just start taking your the B12, well, certainly you've got a B12 that is a liquid B12, so it's, you know, it's bioavailable. But isn't the danger there, if you take that but you're not taking other B vitamins, that there's an issue with how everything, you know, the synergy of it all?
There is a lot, of course, there's synergy with all of the B vitamins, but often you can get a lot through food. I think that B9, so your folate, is probably one of the most key ones to look out for people who don't do well with methylated vitamins. Some people, this is quite rare, but occasionally you have somebody who takes a methylated vitamin and feels, initially they feel good and then they feel dreadful. They need
Just
to.
explain to us what you mean by a methylated vitamin.
So when we put a cobalamin, a B12, into the body, it has to be converted into the active form. And the body does this by adding a methyl group. Now, a good 50% of the population have variations on these gene pathways called the MTHFR gene. And so what happens is they're not able to methylate as effectively. So they can't activate the cobalamin, the
Can't sort of
B12.
process it, they can't use it effectively.
Exactly. And so what's then helpful and needed is to put in an already methylated, so you're effectively putting in some methyl donors, already methylated B12, so the methyl cobalamin, and an already methylated folate. So that then effectively just donates those methyl groups so that your body doesn't have to do the conversion that it's struggling to do. And a lot of people have this variation, and it's not a problem if we know that we need to work with that. And it's not a causing factor, it's more of a correlation. But people who have this gene variant often have a family history or personal history of ADHD, of depression, anxiety, of alcohol abuse, addictive behavior around drugs and alcohol. So it's an interesting one to look at. And it doesn't do any harm to put in methylated vitamins, even if you don't have this variant.
So it shouldn't do you any harm if you're taking B12 after you've quit alcohol. Or I mean there isn't really a test we can do, is there, that determines.
I mean, there's the B12 test will give you an idea of your serum levels
Oh,
as
will it?
well.
Okay, and is that a blood test then?
Yeah, you can
Okay.
also do homocysteine levels
Right.
to check where they're at. And it's a good indicator, but B12 is a very, very safe vitamin. So even without getting your levels checked, you're probably going to be okay. So if you're seeing symptoms such as tiredness, the fatigue, anxiety, there are many, many symptoms really that kind of can be cracks, corner of your mouth, tingling in the fingers. And if you're seeing symptoms like that, it's really not going to hurt you to take a B12.
Yeah, absolutely. What are the other the other kind of things that people tend to just sort of not focus on, because it's just not on their radar, you know, like the vitamin D, like the B12. Is there anything else that you would say is kind of a no-brainer?
Magnesium.
Yeah, magnesium,
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we spoke about
I'm
it
banging
last
on that.
time,
Yeah.
but
Yeah, that I mean, it's a game
100%.
changer, isn't it,
It
really?
really is. I'm personally someone who notices that if I don't take it for a week, because it happens, doesn't it? We just forget to take
Exactly.
our
We get busy.
supplements, we get busy, we're out of our routine. I notice the difference on my sleep, I notice the difference on my anxiety levels. It makes such a difference, and it's so important for the nervous system. So for somebody coming off alcohol, yeah, great, the B12, because that will be lower from the damage caused to the gut. Obviously, also it's lowering the stomach acid, and that impacts absorption. But yeah, the magnesium to calm that nervous system
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and
totally.
help the sleep and anxiety that kind of comes from coming off that alcohol, addiction.
Yeah. I mean, sleep can be such a weird one in the early stages. You know, some people do sleep well straight away. Others, it takes absolutely ages before sleep regulates. It's worth it when you eventually get it, but it can take absolutely ages. You know, I've known
Especially if
clients.
the alcohol's been used as a crutch to get to sleep.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you just have to kind of keep your eye on the prize that it's going to get better, really. Because even not sleeping tremendously well is better than the, you know, what you had going on before, effectively. What about vitamin C? It's another one that I don't think I realized until fairly recently just how critical it really is. I used to kind of think, oh, well, if I'm starting to get a cold, I'll shove a couple of vitamin C capsules down me. But now I realize just how crucial it is, you know, and the fact that we don't store it, do we? We can't sort of hang on to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's water soluble, so we release it quite easily. It's easily damaged in cooking. It's one of the first vitamins to degrade, with time as the food sitting on the shelf. So yeah, vitamin C is one of my personal go-tos on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and I love your little sachets. I mean, they're fantastic.
We don't do the sachets anymore,
Oh, do you
but
not? Oh, okay.
no,
I was going to say I love your sachets, but I also love your
the new in the capsule. So we always I always bang on about liquids are best, and for a lot of things that's true, certainly for the B12, because you've got sublingual absorption, which so then if somebody doesn't release intrinsic factor, they've got gut damage, it doesn't matter because they can absorb it as effective as injections. For something like the liposomal, it's very hard to keep a liquid stable. So you start then adding lots of preservatives in, which, as I spoke earlier about, is not something that we want to do in our skin.
Is that why you don't do the sachets anymore then?
Yeah, we just found it was basically becoming impossible to keep it stable for long enough.
That's interesting. Yeah, that is.
And so, yeah, we worked with the lab to there was a very long R&D process working with a top British university to basically formulate a dried liposome.
Right.
So when you put it in your body and it's digested, it actually then reactivates the liposome. And you
Right.
can also open the capsule and add it into water, and that'll reactivate the liposome.
Oh, right. Can you? What was the one you've got?
Yes, yeah. So if you prefer not to take capsules, that's definitely an option. But it's still the same effective Lipo-C, but it's just in a capsule now.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's actually a cleaner product because we
Yes.
can't add anything else apart from a
Yeah.
bit of fiber.
Sure.
The station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato. Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
I remember years ago, I don't know how I got caught up in this, but I tried to make my own liposomal vitamin C using like an organic soy lecithin and all of that. But it needed vodka to preserve. Hold
Deserve
on a minute. I don't think I'll be doing that.
it.
How funny is that?
Oh,
That
yeah,
walking.
and that's the thing. And a lot of people don't want the alcohol in their supplements. And
Exactly. Exactly.
so yeah, but we've also got an organic whole food one. And the great thing about the whole food one is that you've got all of the bioflavonoids with it. You've got all the compounds that come with the vitamin C and help you absorb it. So I see a place for both personally. I take day to day, I take the whole food one, and then I'll add in a heavier dose of the liposomal one, in, times where I'm maybe feeling a little bit of a sore throat, a bit run down, I'm around people that might be unwell,
Yeah, sure.
just to give me that extra boost.
We need to talk hormonal stuff because I find it with just so many clients, certainly if they're women who quit alcohol and then things don't instantly sort of get better, then we have to just ask what's going on hormonally. And for so many of them, they've rocked up to a GP, they've told them there's mood swings and anxiety and poor sleep. They've been given HRT, sometimes the pill, bizarrely, sometimes both, or sometimes, depending on their age, sometimes HRT and antidepressants. So really quite a cocktail of stuff going on there on top of a bottle of wine a night, without being asked any questions. It's a shocking picture, really. But then, often these women will, they'll kind of wake up and recognize that the alcohol is absolutely not serving them. Alcohol and the menopause do not mix. So they'll remove the alcohol, but then they've still got the HRT and the antidepressants, one or the other. And quite honestly, if you could kind of have a conversation with your own body, it would probably be saying, "What the hell are you doing? Give me a chance, right? Give me a chance."
In this period of transition,
Yes,
there's just too much
exactly.
going on, isn't
Too much
there?
going on. So I mean, obviously, it's too big a debate, and I of course I believe there is a place for both antidepressants and for HRT, but I absolutely don't think that it should just be signed off for everyone as you walk in the door saying, I've got some, mood swings and hot flushes. Well, yes, you're getting older. I genuinely believe that much of it can be managed by, well, quitting alcohol. I'd say that's critical. And changing your diet, it has such an impact, doesn't it?
Definitely. I think that, women don't realize how many choices they have, and it's just a lack of information. Interestingly, they've just removed the black box warning on HRT just this month.
Really? What was that then?
The warnings around breast cancer
They've removed it.
they've removed it. I think
Why?
they've
Because they
kept on
no longer think it's an issue.
the endometrial cancer warning.
Right.
These studies were done in the 90s. They were based on synthetic oral
Okay.
hormones, and they were also given to women beyond a greater period of 10 years after
Right,
menopause,
right.
over 60. So I think there's more work now being done on giving it earlier, and also the bioidentical hormones.
Yes, exactly. Which
So,
here are much better.
yeah, exactly. Now, I believe that if somebody wants to manage it naturally, they absolutely can. And of course, people have varying degrees of symptoms. So there are options, and I think it's really important that women know that they can look into these various different options, the bioidentical hormones, and just have all the information to make the best choice for them individually.
Yeah.
But you can put in hormones, but if you haven't got the foundations right,
Yeah, of the diet.
hormones won't work anyway. So I
Yeah,
think
yeah.
probably one of the first steps is actually testing where your hormones are at, doing something like a Dutch
Yeah,
test,
yeah.
so you can actually see what you're working with. And then really getting the foundation, the basics right. So your blood sugar management, your sleep, your gut health, doing some gut healing, making sure that things are working well, you're having regular bowel movements, your detoxification pathway, supporting your liver. You need all of this in place before you start putting hormones in,
Yeah.
so that they actually can work. And also, you might find that in balancing your blood sugar, in working on your gut and healing it, you might find a lot of these symptoms actually dissipate anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That what you're then working with is to a much lesser degree. So
Yes.
I really encourage women to work on those basics, to get the foundation right, and then look at the options of bioidentical hormones
Yeah,
if they wish.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone who is sort of, in those early stages of sleep feels really difficult and hormonally everything's all over the place. Are you a fan of, herbal stuff or things like ashwagandha and those kind
Yeah,
of things? Yeah.
definitely. Adaptogens have a place, maca, ashwagandha, black cohosh. They're great and powerful. They're not something to just do without thought. Herbs can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
But adaptogens definitely have a place in hormone balancing, and I think ideally should be. As part of, and again, not that you just do that and don't think about the diet and don't think about the lifestyle changes, but get the gut healing done, get the blood sugar balance, eating protein with every meal and snack. It's so
Well,
simple,
yeah, I was
but
going to say the think when as you get older, thinking about some of the food things that you need to add in. There are sort of adaptogenic foods, aren't there? There are things that
yeah.
are meant to be really good as you go into sort of menopausal years, things like edamame beans and those kind of products are meant to be those kind of foods are meant to be really good, aren't they?
With a mild estrogen mimic
Yeah,
effect.
yeah,
Yeah, so
yeah,
flaxseed, things like that.
yeah.
Yeah.
Um,
But
talk to me
I
about.
love adaptogens, just to say, I think they can play a really nice part in just
Yeah.
modulating those
Because
hormones.
they won't do any harm, will they? I suppose that's the point, really, with them. They're very gentle.
Yeah, they're not going to do any harm, but I think it's key to remember that that's not all you want to be doing. You
Yeah.
want to be doing the diet and lifestyle alongside that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. On the foods, I've done so much around nutrition, and yet for myself, this is me fessing up completely. Absolutely rubbish at getting the protein in. Help me, please. What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? I find it really difficult to actually properly get the protein in. The reality is, for years I was vegetarian, literally years and years and years, and then I went to a Western A price conference actually.
Maybe at the same one.
Probably, and thank God my husband came with me because he'd also been vegetarian for 30 years.
Right.
To this Western A price conference and came out and
Didn't leave a vegetarian.
he went, no, the steak.
Yeah.
The reality is I find that really difficult. I find eating meat really difficult. So therefore I find getting protein, just getting enough protein, I just it just kind of I talk about it, I know the importance of it, and I find it really hard to make it happen properly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do, Janie. I saw a hilarious, probably a reel or something that said, I felt more pressure in my 30s to eat protein than I did in my teenage years to take drugs, because everybody's talking about it, aren't they? And it is important because it's what stops our blood sugar spiking. So it is really important to have protein with every snack, every meal. But it doesn't have to be meat. It can be yogurt. It can be eggs. Eggs are
I'm good
fantastic.
with eggs. I'm good with eggs. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, and of course, it can also be lentils and chickpeas if they agree with you.
True.
So yeah, I think it's in the preparation, really. It's
It's
just
interesting that you
making
say
sure.
even with every snack. So we come back to that thing of if you're having an apple, have some almonds with it as well, right? Or if you're having some dark chocolate, have a nut.
Yeah, exactly. Just have something that, tempers that blood sugar spike so that you
That's a good
don't
tip.
crash. And obviously, eating protein is great, but also intermittent fasting can really help with the blood sugar balancing. And so that can be helpful for some women.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
think the key is not making the window too long for women, in terms of hormones.
Yeah, I find that hard too.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is fantastic to talk about how great it is, but you actually got to do it, haven't you?
Yeah, you
With
do.
nutrition generally, I think it's, I'm sure you'd agree that if you're if you're starting out on all of this and you know you've got some changes to make, rather like when you're quitting alcohol, actually, you know, you can't focus on what you're missing out on. You know, it's much better to kind of think, certainly in terms of food, it's not like how alcohol, we can't stop eating, but instead of kind of thinking, oh my God, I can't have that, and I can't have that, and that meal's no use anymore, and I can't have that meal. It's more about what can you add in to start with? What can you just add to what you're having?
Definitely.
So, you know, if I am having my crap fish cake, then what can I add to it to boost its you know, health plate, as it were? I suppose that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, just gradually forming better habits. And then I think the more good stuff you add in, the less room there is.
Yes, exactly.
And it just becomes a more natural go-to for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen overnight, and it doesn't need to. But if we can just, you know, implement a new habit, a new food each week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than this overnight complete drastic change, because we don't stick to it then.
No, exactly.
No, it's
the whole idea of needing loads of variety as well, particularly for the gut microbiome. You know, a naturopath sort of said to me, have at least 50 different foods every week. You know, and so, you know, if you have egg on toast for breakfast every morning, that's just two, or maybe three if you count the butter. But if you then add in some avocado, that's four. And if you have some, you know, even some herbs with it, that's five or six, you know. So it's not actually that hard when you just take into account little things you can add in. But it's all about that diversity, isn't it?
Definitely. They say often nutritionists say eat the rainbow.
Yes, exactly.
Having as many colours on your plate.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just being mindful of it, because it's easy for us to go through the day and have eaten a load of beige food.
100%. I was at a business event last week, and I swear to God, I had two full days of literally only beige food, and I felt so sluggish and oh my goodness, it really affected me. I really noticed it, you know. I mean,
and that's it, isn't it? It's listening to the body and really just kind of realizing how this food makes me feel. So it becomes that eating you know, the foods that we might have previously seen as a treat, they don't become a treat anymore.
No, exactly.
It's not a treat to feel rubbish, to not be able to enjoy my weekend in the same way as alcohol, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think, yeah, it's fine. The body can cope with it. Of course it can now and again. It's not it's not going to do you really any harm to have it at an event for a day or a week on holiday where you just doesn't matter. But I think, going back to the 80-20, if you can just get 80% of the time that you're eating well, eating whole foods, preparing most of your food. You know, there's the saying, isn't it, if your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize it as food, wouldn't have eaten it, then
absolutely,
it's probably
absolutely
not food.
That's so true. That's so true, isn't it? And just to reiterate as well, you know, on this topic, anyone who is literally in the early stages of quitting alcohol, there's never a more important time to really, really focus on that protein. I know I said I find it difficult, but I really insist that clients eat that protein. It's so important in those early weeks.
Incredibly important for the blood sugar, for the repair that's going on in the body. As you need those building blocks to repair.
And also, you know, if you are having proper, decent, nutrient dense food, there's far less craving for the crap, isn't there? You know, you
totally.
Can't, if you've had a proper nutritious meal, you know, that's really satiating, there isn't really room for, you know, three bags of Haribos, is there?
Exactly. The body often craves these things, wants more, because the food's lacking in nutrients, and it's the vitamins and the nutrients that the body wants, and so therefore keeps, you know, there's this hunger that persists.
That's it. Whereas, that's it, isn't it? We're
with nutrient dense food.
Exactly. We're nutrient poor in many cases. That's exactly it. So just tell us a little bit about the brand, and you know, just give us a bit of an overview of the products that you have.
So we've only got a range of 13 and more in the pipeline. But the reason for that is because this isn't just white labeling. I don't
No,
just go to a
exactly.
lab and say, give me whatever,
And I'll make a fortune out of
quality
it.
you've got,
Because it
or
does really annoy everybody how when we read these articles and it'll say, oh, this costs 1p to produce. So they're like, how dare you charge me 20 quid?
exactly. And it's all, I mean, the market now is
Well,
booming.
it's totally overwhelming, isn't it? If you tell someone to get started on supplements and then they just go into a high street store, I mean, oh my God, they would literally be so confused and come out literally rattling. And yet the reality of it is they could be taking in a ton of fillers and, like in my case with the vitamin D, artificial sweeteners and not enough active ingredient to actually help with their problem.
And then they say, oh, vitamins and minerals, they don't
That's the
work.
crap, yeah.
Supplements don't work. I didn't feel a difference. And it's like, well, you didn't feel a difference
So you
because it
guys work really
hasn't
hard
reacted.
on getting the pure ingredients and getting the right balance of the active ingredient that actually is going to make a difference.
Exactly. So a lot of our supplements will be considered to be quite high dose. The
Yeah.
B12, for example, is 3,000 micrograms,
Yeah.
which is, on the higher side, but it's a safe vitamin, so that's a very safe dose for an adult.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exactly that, getting the right form, getting it in its most bioavailable active form. The idea being that the body just has to do as little as possible, because I'm working on the basis that a lot of people have, the mutations on their gene pathways, that they have gut health problems and therefore absorption issues. That they're living with low grade chronic stress. So all of these things impacting their absorption, I'm working on the basis of that. So if I can give you the most bioavailable active form,
Yeah.
you're actually then going to feel it.
Yeah.
And so yeah, no preservatives, no colorings, no flavorings. We sometimes get this review on our B12. So it's just a liquid, it's a red liquid,
Yeah, it's just like a
and
top bottle, isn't it?
it just tastes like water, really. And that's because it's two forms of vitamin B12, the methylcobalamin and the adenosylcobalamin, which incidentally is very key for energy, because it's that form that supports the mitochondria, which is the little energy powerhouse of pretty much every cell in your body. So it's that's going to give you the energy. But it's got the two forms of B12 and then just reverse osmosis water and nothing else. And I think people are so used to tasting cherries and sweetness that we sometimes get the review that says, just coloured water.
It's nothing, yeah.
Thankfully, we've got, nearly 3,000 positive reviews saying it's changed my life. I can't
Yeah.
believe how much better I feel. But
Brilliant.
it does make us laugh, because as if we'd get away with selling coloured
No,
water.
exactly.
But people are so used to tasting sugary,
Sugary things. Exactly.
cherry flavored supplements. And so
Yes.
that's our goal, is just keep it as simple as possible, as pure as possible, and as effective as
Yeah,
possible.
absolutely. Well, we love it. We'll put all the links in the notes, and thank you so much, Rachel. It's so great that you're so knowledgeable about this stuff, and it's really great when there's a brand who's putting this stuff out, but it comes from that place of really genuinely caring about what people are going to be taking.
Thank you.
It's very
Yeah, it really is
refreshing.
my passion.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
Yeah, I love it.
very passionate about helping people to empower themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. We'll give all the links. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks, Jamie.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.